Well, it's been 5 months since Hawaii first went into lockdown as COVID-19 cases began to spread across the United States. After several months of low-level virus, Hawaii is now experiencing a large spike in new cases on top of persistently high unemployment. HPR's Ryan Finnerty sat down with the governor last week to look back on the state's response to the virus and look ahead at the rest of his time in office.
You know, I'm proud of Hawaii's collective response. We can only be successful as a community together if we all take personal responsibility and make the sacrifices necessary to keep our community safe. And, you know, up until the last 3 weeks or so, we have been successful in doing that. You know, we did see beginning Memorial Day weekend that people, after sacrificing so much for so long, started relaxing a bit. And clearly, we saw more and more people feeling comfortable about interacting again as we got through the 4th of July weekend. And I do think this rapid surge recently was a result of, I think, many of us in the community just letting our guard down. People felt more comfortable, and those kinds of social interactions started to happen again. And then, obviously, we saw the virus cases just take off and accelerate.
And given that acceleration and how quickly it occurred, what does that portend for the planned or at least hopeful reopening of the state economy and particularly the tourism industry? Do you think we need to reevaluate that goal in light of how quickly the situation got out of hand with just local activity?
You know, Ryan, I've always stressed that we will constantly evaluate that decision on trans-Pacific travel. And so we are looking at the data, you know, the number of cases. It will be very important to see what happens over the next few days and probably the next week or two to see whether, you know, people can re-embrace the personal sacrifices again and stay separate and don't interact. You know, if the number of cases can come down back to, you know, the numbers that they were before, then yes, you know, we can look at trans-Pacific travel. If it doesn't, and you know, Ryan, I've always stressed it's about the health and safety of our community. You know, the increase in the number of cases in our hospitals, the increase in the numbers in our ICU units right now is stressing our healthcare system. It hasn't overwhelmed it yet. You know, our healthcare system has been true champions, you know, providing quality healthcare. But I've spoken with many of the leaders. And they are concerned, and we need to see as a community the number of cases come down, and we need to get this virus back under control the way it was in early March, late April.
Switching gears a little bit, Governor, the state is obviously dealing with a pretty serious budget shortfall and fiscal pressures from the economic downturn and the rise in unemployment. What's in the future for the next few months, specifically the possibility of pay cuts or furloughs for state workers? Is that still something that we could potentially see coming in future weeks or months?
We continue to monitor the Congress and the administration, and we need to get additional federal aid, or else we will have to take a dramatic and decisive action to deal with our budget crisis. And that will mean that we'll have to evaluate and review every program and service that the state offers. That will mean that as a last resort, we have to look at labor savings in order to make our budget work.
What kinds of programs or assistance are you looking for? The CARES Act had some restrictions on how the money could be used that limited it in a lot of ways. What are you looking for specifically from the federal government?
you know, we definitely would need to see additional funds in order to balance our budget. As I said, you know, we are seeing a revenue shortfall of about $2.3 billion. You know, we would hope to see $1 billion or more in order to help us with our fiscal shortfall. Right now we are looking at the municipal loan program, and our financial plan includes borrowing between $700 million to $1 billion. That would help us alleviate the payroll deductions or labor savings that we would need to see to balance the budget. That could help us delay any kind of action for a period of time. But, you know, the challenge will be that as our revenues have fallen, and that's already happened, we are already seeing 25% less income coming into the state, that as we delay taking action, the fiscal impact gets larger and larger.
And so you need money to help meet pre-existing budget items. Am I understanding that right? Whereas the CARES Act was restricted to unexpected expenses, now right. The state needs money to meet budgeted items and right. obligations that predate the pandemic.
Yes, the CARES Act money explicitly prevented the state from using it to replace lost revenues and explicitly prevented the state for using it for any program, any expense or service that existed at the times that the CARES Act was funded. So it had to be new expenditures, it had to be new requirements in response to the COVID-19 health emergency. So the new funds that we would seek would allow us to replace lost revenues and help fund core existing programs that we know our community needs right now.
Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty in that situation, but if that assistance either doesn't come at all or comes in a form other than what you just described, at what point are you going to have to make decisions about borrowing additional funds or cutting spending?
We would make the decision to borrow funds before the end of the year, probably in November kind of time frame. You know, we continue to look at the state's cash flow and cash balances. We would need to implement labor savings if no additional federal funds come before the end of the year.
The last time we spoke, we were in a very different situation. It was before the pandemic in January, and you outlined a very ambitious agenda for the remainder of your term, and one of your main focuses was transitioning to a decarbonized economy, decarbonizing transportation and electricity generation in Hawaii. How has that been changed by this situation, and what do you have in mind for the remainder of your term?
I think one thing that has become crystal clear in this pandemic is we've seen what a tremendous impact our current daily activities have on the environment. We've seen a significant reduction in energy use. We've seen a significant reduction in fossil fuel usage as the number of flights have dropped dramatically. You know, the need for jet fuel and other fossil fuels has shown us how quickly our environment can improve. So I think it redoubles our commitment to accelerating decarbonization. HECO and the utilities have advanced green energy investments. You know, this pause in the demand for using fossil fuels for electricity has allowed our utilities to accelerate their plans for green energy. So, you know, I'm excited about the opportunity. It definitely would be different than what we had planned a year ago. But I think in terms of decarbonization, you'll see that acceleration now in the next year or so.
All right, Governor David Ige, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was Governor David Ige, who spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty last week. You can find the story online at hawaiipublicradio.org.